Today's scripture reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Please read along as we speak or read today's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Well, good morning. We will be taking a break from our series in James this Sunday to consider a passage from Scripture which may be of timely relevance and encouragement for our congregation as the summer is drawing to a close, and as is often the case with the beginning of the fall season, we face new challenges on the horizon as well as returning to familiar trials. So God willing, we'll pick up where we left off last week in the Epistle of James next Sunday. The text that we'll be looking at today opens with a call for believers to rejoice in the Lord. You'll notice that the call to rejoice in the Lord is repeated twice for emphasis. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. If our heart's trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ today, we have reason to always rejoice. In light of the gospel, God emphasizes that we rejoice as we live out the Christian life. But for those of us who are at least somewhat experienced in our walk with Christ, we know that the Christian life is no easy vacation. We are, in fact, exposed to the ordinary trials of life that everyone else goes through. Misunderstandings and disappointments, various problems, such as problems with our health, relational problems, dealing with difficult people in the workplace or even within our own friendships or families. And we go through all these various hardships and pains that everyone else goes through as we live in a fallen world corrupted by sin. Furthermore, unlike everyone else, as children of God, we endure unique challenges pertaining to our life of faith. We endure the challenge of sanctification, our many hard struggles with sin. We face the hostility of a world under the dominion of the devil as we follow Christ the King. As citizens of Christ's kingdom, we are aliens and sojourners in this world, and as we may know so well, that life of sojourning can sometimes be tremendously difficult. And yet, even so, our Lord exhorts us to rejoice always. Given the ordinary difficulties of human life, given the extraordinary difficulties of life in Christ, what is the basis of this rejoicing which the Lord desires of us and in fact commands of us? We look to a passage like Romans 5, verse 1 to 2 for the answer. So we read there, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Here in this text in Romans, we're assured that once we are justified through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now stand in God's grace. We know what it means to take a stand on an issue, on something that's controversial or there's a lot of debate about. To take a stand on an issue means that no one will change your stance on that particular subject. You're rock solid. You won't be moved. Or, as another example, we hear of soldiers taking a last stand in battle. What does that mean? Well, it means that they will hold their position to the death, to the last man. Well, in a similar sense, we know that when we placed our heart's trust in Christ, we now stand in God's grace. Our sins were forgiven us, and we were accepted as righteous in his sight. We were justified through faith. No more are we objects of God's wrath. Now through Christ we have become objects of God's favor. He is now inclined favorably towards us. And nothing is able to bring us back into that old position where we were before we came to faith, when we were alienated from God and under his wrath and under his condemnation. Now that we are justified, we stand in God's grace. God will forever deal with us favorably as his own beloved children. We stand in his grace. And that means, as we know, it means something tremendous. That means our hope of eternal glory is secure. And if that hope of eternal glory is secure, we can rejoice in this hope. So we read there in verse 2. "Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We rejoice in this hope. What other hope of ours can we rejoice in? We know if we rejoice in any other hope before we've obtained it, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. We know that the time to rejoice is when we finally obtain whatever it is we're hoping for. Like that good grade or our favorite sports team winning the championship. We rejoice when that hope is obtained. Otherwise, we set ourselves up for disappointment. But for all of us who have received the gift of salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, our hope of glory is assured because we now stand in God's grace. He will forever deal with us favorably as a father towards his own children. And that's why we can rejoice in this hope even before we've obtained that promised glory. We stand in his grace. He deals with us favorably as our Heavenly Father. And of course, this is because of our Savior, Christ Jesus, through whom we have received the reconciliation and adoption. And so we're told in verse 4 of Philippians, our text for today, rejoice in the Lord, because in him, on account of him, we stand in the favor of God. We stand in the favor of God and have a sure hope for our eternity. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, you'll notice as we read on in Philippians 4, we're taught that on account of this grace in which we stand, this sure hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that we ought to display our reasonableness to all. Of all people, believers should be the most reasonable. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. In the original language, the word translated as reasonableness in Philippians 4:5 is epikeis. Elsewhere in the New Testament, that word is translated as gentle. We of all people who are in Christ, who stand in God's grace, who have reason to rejoice in the hope of glory, we of all people should be gentle in this world. Those who have nothing to look forward to in the life to come fight and wrangle over earthly things. But as we know so well, we have an infinitely better treasure laid up for us in heaven. And what are the world's scraps compared to that? So, brethren in Christ, we ought to be the most gentle and reasonable of all people, not pugnacious, not demanding, overbearing, pushy about the little petty aims and ambitions that the world around us fights over. We should be gentle and reasonable because, as we're reminded in verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He is coming soon. We are in the last epoch of human history. We are in that intermediate period between the Lord's first advent and the Lord's second advent, between the Lord's resurrection and ascension and the Lord's return. We are in the final age of the history of this earth. We are in the last times. And when Jesus does come again, what are we told? Well, we're told in Scripture that the glory promised to us will be ours. If we jump back to the previous chapter in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. That's the world outside of Christ, outside the promise of salvation, outside the renewal of the Holy Spirit. But we read on, who are we in Christ? But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so as we can see there, the Lord is at hand. And when he returns, the promised glory will be ours. So we are not those who set their minds on earthly things, but on heavenly things. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our treasure is in heaven, not on this earth. So we should, of all people, believers, be the most reasonable and gentle of people, not demanding and overbearing and pushy and pugnacious and belligerent over the petty treasures of this world, but looking forward to the eternal treasure that is promised to us in Christ. The Lord is at hand. Furthermore, because of this grace in which we stand, we're told in verse 6 that we have free access to fellowship with God. And if we have this free access that was purchased for us by the blood of Christ, we ought to make the most of it. See, no one but those who trust in Christ have the freedom to draw near to God as his own children. Yet, how often we are so anxious and fearful. And it's because we do not avail ourselves of this privilege of fellowship with God the Father as readily and as often as we should, as a first resort rather than a last resort. How often, when faced with life's anxieties, do we fret and ruminate and vent to other people until we can't bear it anymore? And then, when we are exhausted and worn out by our worries, then we turn to our Lord in prayer as a last resort. But our text teaches us to turn to the Lord in prayer as a first resort. What we should do, according to today's text, is at the moment we begin to feel anxious about anything, is to immediately access our God in prayer and make our requests known to him. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The moment we feel anxious about anything, that's the way our Lord teaches us to deal with it. Not as a last resort, turning first to people and fretting and ruminating and spending hours and hours worrying and trying to work out everything in our own minds. No, as a first resort, we're taught to turn to the Lord in prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it's not only making our requests known to God, which alleviates our anxieties, is given to us as a solution for our anxieties. But as we can see there, it's also the thanksgiving with which we are taught to pray. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Brethren in Christ, isn't it true, by our own experience, that when we're so troubled and worried about tomorrow's uncertainties, but then take the time to pray and give thanks to God for His mercies and blessings, temporal and eternal, that is at that time, our problems, which seem so massive and intimidating and overwhelming, were put into proper perspective. The lyrics of that famous hymn that we sing time to time here in this congregation captures the experience of the believing who bring their anxieties to the Lord with thanksgiving. How do the lyrics of that hymn, how does it go? We know this hymn. When you probably sang it a few weeks ago. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. There's the thanksgiving. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does a cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. How often, brethren in Christ, when we brought our prayers and supplication to God with thanksgiving, did that crippling worry melt away into peace, a supernatural peace, a peace from God that is not grounded on the outcome of our earthly circumstances, but grounded on the promise of His glory. And so we read in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We praying with trust and thanksgiving restores the heart of the believers to peace. And this peace will guard us from further intrusions by that familiar foe of ours, anxiety. Will guard us in the knowledge of that glory which God has promised to us in Christ, and also in His absolute sovereign authority and control over all the circumstances of our life, and His willingness and love and ability and power to take care of us as His children here on this earth and provide for us all of our needs. A few nights ago, late at night after midnight, somebody vigorously knocked on the door of my home and rang the doorbell several times. Given that I live in Philadelphia, one cannot be too careful at that hour of the night. I went to the door, and without going into too much detail, I saw somebody acting rather erratically and unusual, suspicious, ringing the doorbell, knocking on the door while trying to stay out of sight of the glass panel of the door. Given his suspicious behavior, I told him from behind the door, I wouldn't be opening it. No, sir, not at 12:30 midnight, not when he's attempting to hide as he's banging on the door. A few moments later, a man walked away, and I called the police. And as my wife and I sat in the kitchen waiting into the wee hours of the morning. My eyes were glued to the window that overlooks the driveway of my home, looking for that squad car to pull up to my home. Sure would have liked to have that squad car there throughout the night. Like a squad car parked in our driveway, guarding our home from burglars or troublemakers, so will the peace of God, as we're told in today's text, guard our hearts from anxiety when we draw near to Him in blood-bought fellowship and in prayer with thanksgiving. And so we're taught, brethren in Christ, to go to God in prayer, again to emphasize, with thanksgiving, the moment anxiety flutters in our chest. See, because we, of course, are often so prone to just go with our requests only. And we just pray like that all the time. We just go with our requests. We go with our list of requests again and again and again. And we're taught to bring our requests to the Lord with thanksgiving. Not just bringing our request in, but with thanksgiving. We know what it's like when people constantly ask us for things and yet forget to give thanks for all that we do for them. What do we call people like that? We call people like that ungrateful. The kind of prayer that is in accord with the will of our Lord, as today's text shows us, is grateful prayer. The kind of prayer that produces the peace of God is grateful prayer, not ungrateful prayer, grateful prayer. Our Lord died to secure for us fellowship with the Heavenly Father so that we may turn to Him in any time of need and worry and fear and leave our anxieties in His hands with thanksgiving, grateful prayer. And He is our Abba Father. He knows what is good for us better than we do. And of course, as our Abba Father, He loves us as His children. And so our text teaches us, leave our cares for the future with Him and be thankful. Our business today and every day, as we know so well but tend to forget so easily, is not to worry, even at this very moment in time, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So focus on that. Devote ourselves to that. Devote ourselves to our God-given stewardships as fathers and as mothers, as husbands and as wives, as sons and daughters, as servants and children of the household of God and as workers in the workplace. That's where we start with our stewardship. We don't need to sit there and start, that's where we start when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We don't have to sit there and just try to figure out all these ways that we can seek first His kingdom and His righteousness when all those areas in which we are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness is right there on our doorstep, in our own backyards, in our own families and homes and in the workplace. And in our present relationships with other people, we'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Fulfill and devote ourselves to stewardship, the various stewardships which God has given to us as His servants in this world. And as we do, we can trust God to take care of our needs. He will provide us with what we need through every trial, every struggle, every affliction, until He calls us home to Himself by whatever means He has appointed. As Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? We sometimes think that all of our fretting and anxious work is going to somehow lengthen our lives. And yet Jesus tells us our anxiety cannot do that, because our Lord has appointed for us the moment, the hour, when he will call us home. And so he tells us, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to a span of life? None of us can. So again, we're taught in our text and by our Lord to focus our attention on his kingdom and his righteousness. And while we do, make known our requests to him. Leave all our anxieties in his hands. And give thanks. As the familiar words of another hymn we often sing in this congregation reminds us, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. You know this hymn so well. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word and is the product of your Holy Spirit's illumination, insofar as it has been preached in a manner that is in keeping with how you want us to understand your promises and your instructions to us, we pray that we who trust in Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord from the heart, not only acknowledging him intellectually, but relationally, trusting in him as our Lord and authority and our only hope for eternal life, Lord, we pray that we will receive the teaching of your word and apply it. For Lord, we know how easily we are derailed by anxiety and how easily worry troubles us, even perhaps for some of the most mature of us here in this congregation. And so, Lord, we pray that we will put into practice these elementary and yet precious truths, so that our lives will not be crippled by fear and anxiety, but rather, Lord God, we will be able to focus on the things that are important, your kingdom, your righteousness, where you have placed us in our various responsibilities, whether it be in the workplace or in our friendships or at home with our own families. All who are your children can today, at the present time, in our current circumstances, can seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Please help us to do so and not worry. Please help us to deal with worry by bringing our anxieties to you, our prayers and supplication, as you have taught us, with thanksgiving. Not with ungrateful prayer, not with grumbling prayer, but with grateful prayer, with prayer that is suffused with thanksgiving. For we have so much reason to give thanks for the gift of eternal life and all of your eternal promises and your sovereign care for us each day here on this earth, until you call us home to glory, to the promise of your precious glory, which is the hope we rejoice in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.